conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. It's critically important when we're talking about so-called political liberals that we understand who we are really dealing with. If you are even modestly knowledgeable politically, then you must be aware that these liberals are, in fact, communists or similar leftists, their supporters, cheerleaders, and fellow travelers. Liberal is a term these people use to make you think they are like the true liberals of classic Western civilization, who were reformers resisting the tyranny of oppressive governmental apparatuses of their times over recent centuries. Today's liberals are, for the most part, the antithesis of these true classical liberals of Western civilization. You have to remember that with the communists, other leftists, and their supporters, like Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and their ilk, almost everything they say is a lie and a trick meant for consumption by the masses to fool them into supporting these people. If you've read George Orwell's novel 1984, the apocalyptic story of a totalitarian communist takeover of Britain and elsewhere, you get a glimpse into the true nature of totalitarian culture. Leftists live by the propaganda lie and trick, relying on control of information. Hence, Joe Biden claims that for potential voters and supporters, he's, quote, fighting for our democracy, end quote, and, quote, freedom, end quote. And Donald Trump and those evil Russians stole the 2016 election, but Joe Biden legitimately won the 2020 election with a staggering and unprecedented 81 million votes, and no doubt is wildly popular. While Trump and his MAGA movement supporters are a despised, distinct minority of the American population. Anything in a way of a narrative contrary to this, the leftists designate as the big lie, and so on. In reality, the Biden regime is doing the opposite of defending democracy and freedom. It's undisputed that the Biden family has received tens of millions of dollars in direct payments from individuals and entities associated with the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, as well as millions more from many other people, corporations, and governments the Bidens have employed their influence peddling scheme with over the years. It's safe to conclude that Joe Biden is a loyal servant of the communist left in America, and more importantly, their masters in the CCP. Oh, sure, Joe Biden does this and that to help defend the USA from CCP and other enemies worldwide, and he goes so far as to call CCP leader Xi Jinping a dictator. This makes it look like old Joe is looking out for us. As American Accountability Institute president and author Peter Schweitzer has noted, the CCP has a phrase for this sort of thing: much help and a little bad mouth. Hence, we have the leftist political slut Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan and declaring her support for the people of that country on a publicity stunt to fool you into believing she's fighting for our democracy with Joe Biden and his handlers. What she doesn't tell you is that the Pelosi family has gotten filthy rich with sweetheart business deals with the CCP and have been heavily invested in communist China. During your tenure as House Speaker, Pelosi wouldn't even allow a single hearing on the origins of the COVID-19 virus. You have people like Mitch McConnell saying China, Russia, and Iran are an axis of evil. Chuck Schumer saying he stands with Israel, and Pelosi saying she supports Taiwan, when they have all benefited big time financially from the CCP and or U.S. financial and business interests with big money invested in China. and donating to them. If you believe what conservative commentator Emma Robinson has been saying, the USA has substantially already been taken over by the CCP and totalitarianism. And we are living in the end times of what remains of our American Republic. Whether we can actually pull the country out of this death spiral into the abyss of totalitarianism remains to be seen. While many millions are or have already woken up to the peril we are facing, millions more have not and are blithely ambling along with their daily lives, believing everything is fine. And you can't totally blame them. These people have no idea what is about to befall them if what I see comes to pass. As part of these totalitarians' propaganda lies and trickery, we have the utter insanity going on with our borders, having been thrown wide open and flooded with millions, soon to be tens of millions, of illegal aliens from all over the world. These people are expected to help our totalitarian worshiping masters complete their Marxist takeover of the USA. The Biden regime tells us this immigration nightmare is unavoidable due to a, quote, broken immigration system, close quote, supposedly spurred on by things like the increasingly irrational and unproven concept of climate change. And the U.S. Senate actually just voted to make the Biden administration's willful violations of U.S. immigration law legal, so it can be continued and even expanded to eventually replace the U.S. legal population with hordes of desperately poor communist voters and supporters, plunging the USA into a totalitarian world government hellhole so longed for by the fools and crazies of the United Nations and World Economic Forum. These are the true masters of Joe Biden and company, not the American people. As I continually emphasize in my programs, I am not advocating any kind of violence or illegality in promoting resistance to the tyranny of the political left. Although civil disobedience is something that I suspect is being considered by at least some of those ordered to help carry out this monstrous illegality at the behest of the Biden and Homeland Security people, of the Biden regime, I should say, including Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Here's some recent commentary on the U.S. and border invasion and crisis by U.S. Ohio Senator J.D. Vance being interviewed by Fox's Maria Bartiromo.
Senator, you just relayed one of the horrible stories that we hear over and over again as a result of the unknown attached to the wide open border. You've been to the border plenty of times. Why is it that the Republicans cannot really move the needle on securing the border? You're coming back to work next week, this upcoming week, after your Easter recess, and it sounds like the priority is money to Ukraine. There's a $95 billion foreign military aid package. Maybe it comes to the floor, not this week, but next week. Regardless, when can you secure the border and how?
Well, let me just say, first of all, Maria, this illustrates the need for a President Trump round two. We know that the Biden administration has thrown open the floodgates here. They have undone a lot of Trump-era immigration policy, and we've seen the effects. But I don't want to let congressional Republicans off the hook here, because we actually do have leverage. We just have to be willing to actually use it. I think Speaker Johnson is a good guy, but if he brings up a foreign aid package, sending billions of dollars to Ukraine without doing anything on the southern border, it will be a disgrace and a massive betrayal, not just of Republican voters, but of the entire country. Why would people elect Republicans if Republicans are more focused on the border of another country than the border of our own country? So I hope Speaker Johnson really shows some steely resolve here, pushes back against the craziness, and tells the Biden administration, you don't get a dime for your foreign priorities until you do your job and secure the border. And in the meantime, we've got to do everything we can to reelect Donald Trump, because if we had him, we wouldn't be dealing with a president who wants to have an open border.
Our broken immigration system they claim we have is broken by them and could be fixed in a day, if we didn't have dedicated servants of the communist left in the White House and so much of the rest of the federal government. The law means nothing to leftists except insofar as it can be used to gain and hold on to power so they can terrorize, enslave, and murder us if we don't obey them. At least that's the ultimate goal. The Biden regime is stealing billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund a vast support network, bringing these millions of illegals here and enabling them to stay here. As has been reported by people like Dr. Brett Weinstein, Michael Yon, Todd Benzman, and others, a vast support network has sprung into existence to finance the hordes of illegals pouring into the U.S. and being routed to Democratic strongholds around the country, where the U.S. Census, by current law, will count them as legitimate voting populations, thus eventually enabling establishment of many more congressional districts dominated by leftist Democrats and Republicans, and ensuring the ending of the U.S. Republic. And the leftist-dominated U.S. Senate just recently voted down a bill to stop this by the census. The support network includes many NGOs, non-governmental organizations, receiving U.S. taxpayer money, such as the American Red Cross, as I understand it, and leftist billionaire George Soros' Open Society Foundations network, along with United Nations refugee and immigration agencies, and even the Chinese Communist Party and their government, which is facilitating, as I understand it, the illegal immigration of tens of thousands of military-aged men and women from China into the USA, where they quickly disappear. This is the reporting I'm seeing with alternative media, while the CCP-dominated mainstream media largely ignores it all. With the left, there is no debating them or reasoning with them. If you don't agree with them, you are always wrong and deserve to be, if they get their way, imprisoned or even killed, like they do in China and other totalitarian countries, so they can do what they think is best for the great masses of humanity around the world. This means the death of individual freedoms, rights, and private property and wealth for the masses, but not for these leftist elites and their supporters. As has been the case throughout history, it's quite possible to be very rich and powerful under communism and other forms of totalitarianism, if you are one of the elites in power. And as I said, these fools and crazies, drunk with their own power and self-righteous ideology, believe that they're going to be in power, they're going to stay rich and have a lot of freedoms and privileges. In reality and historically, those in power in totalitarian societies can be and often are terrorized and murdered themselves amid the rivalries and jockeying for power among the ruling elites. One of the best analyses of leftists worldwide that I have ever seen was succinctly stated a few months ago by the newly elected Argentine President Javier Milei. We're going to play an audio recording of a segment of an interview in Spanish Milei did with a woman journalist. There is an English translation played over the Spanish conversation to this interview. The video and audio was taken from a commentary done on it by Dr. Steve Turley just after the Argentine election late last year on his YouTube channel. That is Turley's YouTube channel. I have seen slightly differing English subtitled versions of this interview on the internet, but this one from Dr. Turley's YouTube channel is the best version, in my opinion. Toward the end of the interview, you'll hear Milei speak about the leftists demanding the elimination of the blacklist. I believe he is referring here to a blacklist of people considered left-wing subversive by the then military junta ruling Argentina in the late 1970s and early 80s. I'm not sure, but it does seem that that blacklist has been around or has survived, and that's what he's talking about. But in any event, here's the interview segment.
You can't give shit leftards an inch.
Can you define shit leftists?
All collectivists, all kinds of collectivists.
But why do you call them shit?
Because they are shit.
If you think differently from them,
They will kill you. This is the point. You can't give shit leftists an inch. If you give them an inch, they will use it to destroy you. You can't negotiate with leftards. You don't negotiate with trash because they will end you. If they, the left, have a guy that beats his wife off, if it's one of them, he puts on the green scarf, pro-abortion, and yells about neoliberalism all the time, and they hide it. If suddenly there's a journalist that molests another journalist, they hide it. When it's one of them, they hide it. They hide all of those aberrations. Now, if you are on the other side, they will ruin you. They'll kill you, they will throw you everything, they don't care if they ruin your whole life. Why? Only because you don't think like them. And do you know what's the good part in all of this? Because since to err is human, since everyone can be mistaken, they force us to be better, and since we are getting better than them, since we are crushing them in the cultural battle, we're not only superior economically, we are morally superior, we are aesthetically superior, we are better than them at everything, and that triggers them. And since they can't beat us with real arguments, they just use the repressive apparatus of the state with loads of taxpayer money to destroy us, and yet they're still losing. They had to remove the blacklist. They had to remove the blacklist. You understand? They're losing. They're desperate shit leftists are losing the cultural battle. For the first time ever, they are cornered. Those shit leftards.
Millet is so correct in his analysis of leftists. And this is a stark reminder of what we are facing with ever-increasing self-righteous ferocity from our own very rich and powerful USA leftist elites, who are aligned with immensely powerful Wall Street financier and business interests, with so much money tied up with communist China and its vaunted state-owned enterprises. This is also referred to as stakeholder capitalism by the imbecilic crazies pushing for totalitarian world government based on the CCP's model. This is the government which notorious, immensely powerful leftist billionaire George Soros has reputedly said is a better functioning government than that of the USA. One astonishing thing, so many of the globalist business, financial, cultural, and governmental elites of the World Economic Forum and United Nations seem to admire is that under totalitarianism, no criticism of the ruling elites is allowed, just like in communist China. Last year, I saw a video clip on one of the anti-communist websites that monitors events in China about a very courageous young mainland Chinese woman, who live-streamed herself throwing black ink or paint on a poster of a picture of Xi Jinping. She did that, she said, in protest of what Xi Jinping was doing to her country. She then went home, and a short while later, further live-streamed through the peephole of her front door, the police showing up outside her residence. That was the last anyone saw or heard of her. Her website has been taken down, and she has disappeared, most likely executed, with her organs harvested as part of the CCP's huge organ-selling operation. This is what's coming for us. Look what the Biden regime and political left, now controlling much of our government, is doing, trying to imprison Donald Trump for the rest of his life with all these indictments, trials, charges, and imprison, disbar, or otherwise destroy so many of Trump's top supporters, such as Dr. Peter Navarro, currently serving a prison term, Rudy Giuliani, Jeffrey Clark, Steve Bannon, John Eastman, Mike Lindell, and others. As I see it, many of the leaders of the left have been engaging in serious criminal activities, including espionage and even treason. They are terrified of a return to the presidency of Donald Trump and his supporters, which could lead to their illicit activities being exposed and them being prosecuted. They therefore have no intention of letting that happen. and are doing everything in their power to prevent it. Think I'm fooling about this? Take a look at this short video clip titled, Biden and the Democrats are the party of violence. This was posted on Trump's Truth Social internet site just a few days ago. If you're listening to audio only of this video, you can clearly hear Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Maxine Waters, and other prominent leftists calling for violence against Donald Trump and his supporters.
Press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish you were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
That you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
President Walker, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
When they go low, we kick them.
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
And while we're mentioning the World Economic Forum, do you know that at the WEF's annual gathering at a ski resort in Switzerland, our attendees from the leadership of business and industry, culture, and governments from around the world, including Communist China, which the WEF worships. These are the people who contend the great masses of the world, including you and me, will have to eat insects for protein because livestock and other farming is bad for the environment and contributes to climate change. And you'll have to drive only electronic vehicles or electric vehicles, which cause horrible pollution to produce, don't really do anything to fight climate change, and are very expensive to operate and have many technical problems and weaknesses, and require energy from oil and gas to operate. Here's a video put out a few years ago by the WEF called 8 Predictions for the World in 2030. The original video was accompanied only by music and had subtitles displayed. I added text-to-speech audio with the software I'm using, but I was unsuccessful in downplaying the volume of the music. So I'm not sure how well this is going to come off, but I'm still working on mastering this software. But it may be hard to make out the speech narrative. We'll go over some of the key statements made here in this video after playing it.
8 predictions for the world in 2030. 1. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent, and it'll be delivered by drone. 2. The U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. A handful of countries will dominate. 3. You won't die waiting for an organ donor. We won't transplant organs. We'll print new ones instead. 4. You'll eat much less meat. An occasional treat, not a staple. For the good of the environment and our health. 5. 1 billion people will be displaced by climate change. We'll have to do a better job at welcoming and integrating refugees. 6. Polluters will have to pay to emit carbon dioxide. There will be a global price on carbon. This will help make fossil fuels history. 7. You could be preparing to go to Mars. Scientists will have worked out how to keep you healthy in space. The start of a journey to find alien life. 8. Western values will have even tested to the breaking point. Checks and balances that underpin our democracies must not be forgotten.
Now, consider what they're saying here. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. You'll eat much less meat. A billion people will be displaced by the boogeyman climate change, and we'll have to do a better job at welcoming and integrating them into our societies, and so on. These totalitarian monsters obviously mean to enslave us. It's my understanding that after an uproar about this video, including one website posting that it was a blueprint for tyranny, it was taken down from the WEF website. But it's clear what these illustrious leaders of the world have in mind for us poor folk among the masses. Scary, isn't it? No question in my mind, as much of a disaster as the 2020 and 2022 elections were, what looks like our very last chance to save the Republic from the Marxist revolution that's been thrust upon us will be this year's 2024 election. The gangster and communist agent Joe Biden and his illegitimate regime are hell-bent to impose totalitarian tyranny upon us while telling us they're saving us from Trump's non-existent threat to America. It's them who are the real threat to America. Joe Biden, with the upcoming election year, is now spouting rhetoric that he's considering making it a little bit harder to claim asylum for the millions upon millions of illegal aliens he's helping bring here with our money. This is pure BS. Biden might slow down the invasion of our country before the election to fool some gullible voters, and I'm sure that'll be in the millions, but he's resolutely determined and devoted to bringing about the collapse of the USA or his communist and other totalitarian worshiping masters. He's doing this by the left's well-organized border invasion, the enormous printing and spending of money in the furtherance of Marxism through government programs and policies, destroying the U.S. oil and gas industry and with it the internal combustion automotive industry in the name of fighting the contrived climate change crisis. What madness! This will, of course, eliminate millions of U.S. jobs, but greatly benefit communist China, which produces, with terrible pollution, most of the electronic vehicle batteries and other parts. And incidentally, China continues to build coal-powered fossil fuel power plants and utilize oil and gas in their industry with very little, if any, environmental controls. And they dangle this out in front of the gullible, stupid Westerners that they're going to be considering some climate change steps. But in the meantime, they continue to horribly pollute their environment, poison their own people, and get away with it. Then there's the left in America. The left's promoting things like transgenderism, denigrating and ultimately ending religion, and promoting the religion of subservience to the all-powerful state governmental apparatus. And all the other crazy and stupid policies Biden and company are pursuing. And yet, tens of millions of brainwashed Americans will surely vote for Joe Biden. Sure, Biden has serious cognitive issues and is declining in that regard, but we are underestimating the appalling evil of this man and those controlling him. He knows what he's doing, and he's dedicated to it. Thinking of all this, I'm reminded of the story that Ben Franklin, upon exiting the gathering that created and signed the U.S. Constitution, was asked what kind of government had been created. His answer was said to have been, quote, a republic, if you can keep it, close quote. It sure looks to me like we are now losing that cherished republic so many have sacrificed for and even died for to preserve since its inception. We surely all better be doing whatever we can to rescue our elections and establish truly free and fair elections by next November. Speaking of our elections, where are the Republicans supposedly dominating the legislature in so many of our states, including most of the key swing states that will decide the election? The Constitution is clear that state legislatures, not courts, governors, or local commissioners and supervisors, or private election service companies, determine the manner and timing of elections in their states. These legislatures don't need to pass laws that can be vetoed by leftist governors or otherwise negated by leftist courts and localities. They can pass resolutions that are effectively the rule of law, as I understand it. If you're concerned about election integrity, you most likely have heard and seen the evidence of millions of illegal and otherwise illegitimate voter registrations in New York State. Tens of thousands of suspicious votes counted days after Election Day 2020 in Pennsylvania, and more than 120,000 votes counted than people who voted in that state. The bizarre events in Georgia in 2020, where poll watchers and media were kept far away from vote counting, then sent home on Election Day evening, while surveillance video showed election workers pulling suitcases of ballots from under covered tables and stacks of ballots from them run multiple times through scanners. And of course, the bizarre events in corrupt Maricopa County in Arizona in 2020 and 2022, such as when thousands, I believe tens of thousands, of wrong-sized ballots issued in Republican areas jammed in scanners, which were unable to count them. Corrupt judges have prohibited election losers, from even seeing those ballots that were counted. I say if our republic is going to survive, these state legislatures must go in and, according to the Constitution and other federal election laws and their own state election laws, take over the corrupt, leftist-controlled vote-counting centers in places like Phoenix, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, and ensure that state and federal law is followed on Election Day 2024. Also, what is being done about the electronic voting equipment being used across the country and private election services using the internet and servers, including those operated in foreign countries, to transfer and store votes? Our own U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has acknowledged that the electronic voting equipment is extremely vulnerable to hacking, along with many computer scientists from our universities. It's obvious to me that if this equipment is used in this year's crucial election, millions of votes are going to be manipulated, just as has allegedly happened in 2020 and 2022 by election integrity activists. I'm sorry, has been alleged to have happened by election integrity activists like Mike Lindell, retired Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McKinnerney, and others. And with the issue of electronic vote manipulation, our reports by former CIA contractor and computer expert Dennis Montgomery about the CIA supercomputer called, it's also a super secret CIA supercomputer called The Hammer, and vote manipulation program used with it called Scorecard. Montgomery has said he built the system for the government, which he alleged, before the FBI and DOJ placed him under a lifetime gag order about all this under U.S. national security and secrecy statutes. He alleged that this system was used to illegally spy on millions of Americans, including even two U.S. Supreme Court justices, quote, for blackmail and leverage, unquote. In his and his co-author's new book, Invisible Treason in America, General McKinnerney states that the source code for the Hammer and Scorecard, quote, ended up in China, end quote. Mike Lindell has said CCP operatives, quote, have a copy, close quote, of the system. More than 90% of the vote manipulation cyber attacks his team observed on U.S. electronic elections equipment and systems in 2020, quote, came from China, close quote, said Lindell. What, if anything, is being done about all this by our illustrious leaders in the FBI, DOJ, and CIA, among others. Looks like nothing. These are the things on my mind as we swing inevitably toward that fateful election day next November. That's all for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com. Look for us with another show 2 weeks from now in this same time slot. Have a great rest of your day and evening.